Last week, in SourceCast episode 109, I mentioned that I've been traveling a lot for work, and I was traveling this week. But unlike my standard business trips, this week I attended a conference, a procurement conference, specifically SAP's Ariba Live. Before I start discussing Ariba Live, allow me to level set a few things. This particular episode gets close to the buffer zone of professional life and hobby, which I don't like to cross. So fair warning, this week's episode is going to be very vanilla. I should also note that the news that I'm sharing, the content that I'm sharing, is all publicly available. This information is not derived from private conversations, private recordings. This news cap of Ariba Live is fueled strictly on publicly accessible data. It will have no spin or personal opinions, or I should say I will absolutely minimize the personal opinions. Like I said, this is very vanilla. So with that said, this week, we're talking about Ariba. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is SourceCast episode 110. For those of you who are not familiar with what Ariba is, Ariba is a suite of procurement tools. German company SAP purchased Ariba in 2012 for $4.3 billion. And since that time, the Ariba tool has been growing and increasing its functionality. If you use Amazon, that is essentially a consumer procurement tool. You go on a site, you say you want to buy something, you type it in, you purchase it, and you pay for it, and they ship you the item. You're typically not charged until the item is shipped. Heck, Amazon even sells services through their site now, so you can get maids and light fixtures installed. Ariba is striving to be that one portal for corporate consumption, so you can buy computers and consulting services and all of that stuff in one portal. Actually, here's the new Ariba president, Barry Padgett, talking about user experience. I think it ties in nicely.
You know, the consumer's getting really, really picky, and so is our buyer, and so is the user at the companies that we serve. Take this young man, for example. What are you working on here?
Snapchat. Texting.
Did you get a big, thick manual when you got that phone?
Manual? No.
How did you figure out how to use that without a manual?
I mean, it's pretty simple. You turn it on, you set the passcode. I mean, it's not very hard.
What if every time you got an app, you had to go to a training class first before you could use the app?
That would suck.
Yeah,
that would suck. Every time I download an app and open it, it's pretty intuitive. I mean, I shouldn't have to have a manual to learn how to use it.
It sounds pretty lame, right?
Yeah.
So you can imagine the closer and closer we get to consumerizing our experiences in the B2B world, it should be that simple. And more so, it should delight you, right? It should be fun.
Right.
You know something that's super low tech, but probably one of the most amazing experiences I've had in a long time?
What?
God King.
Yeah.
Cheers, man.
Okay, I will actually make a comment. Cotton candy? I don't think that's such an awesome experience for a president of a major IT company. And also, the person he was talking to in that clip was a teenage boy. I can't imagine a teenage boy is super excited about blue cotton candy, especially when they have a smartphone in their pocket. Just saying. So a company can go out and negotiate contracts for pens and papers and computers. They negotiate superior rates than just going out to an Amazon at a corporate level. And they may sprinkle in more sophisticated corporate services, again, like consulting or buying mainframes and servers and buying consulting services for those mainframes and servers. You get the idea. You get all these fancy contracts. You load them up into the Ariba tool, and that allows the employees of a company to go out and buy things against those negotiated contracts. Here's SAP's James Marland via Periscope talking about cognitive contract analysis. This is a really cool feature.
So one of the guests that we had with us this morning was Bob Murphy, the CPO of IBM. He's been there for ages. One of the things that that he said that was that they had been using Watson on their contract database, and they'd loaded up 150,000 contracts and put Watson on it, and now for the first time they were able to manage it. And they had a great dashboard where they could see exactly how the contracts were being used with Watson actually going through and finding all of the clauses and things. So it's a good example, I think, of the power of intelligent procurement.
That's the basic idea. As you can imagine, a supply chain can get really complicated, And having a sophisticated tool that can monitor and manage and help you find details about these contracts makes the life of a strategic sourcing person so much easier and so much more effective. Now that you have a very basic picture of what procurement software does, this conference, Ariba Live, gathered 3,300 strategic sourcing professionals into one place to learn about this tool, to understand the roadmap, to understand the new functionality, and to understand where this product is going over the next few years. I have to say the one thing that I took away from Ariba Live 2018 is that there is a lot of investment in the tool. It's clear that Ariba and SAP, they're spending money to add functionality to the Ariba suite, and they're trying to get users to have more productivity within the tool. So how does a strategic sourcing professional get more productivity? Well, it's a favorite topic of mine on this podcast. That's artificial intelligence, or automation, or cognitive intelligence. Whatever you want to call it, there seems to be a very strong focus within Ariba this year. That shouldn't be a surprise, due to Ariba's strategic partnership with IBM, who obviously has been working on artificial intelligence via the Watson platform for several years. IBM had a procurement suite of their own that they acquired several years ago. It was called mTORIS. In June of last year, IBM decided to sunset mTORIS, and they announced a strategic partnership with SAP Ariba. So IBM is helping some of their customers that were on the mTORIS platform move to SAP Ariba. During one of the two keynote speeches, the Ariba team showed off a couple of commercials. Here are a couple of sound clips from one of the commercials that seems to focus on the idea of artificial intelligence and cognitive intelligence and how that could theoretically help in the supply chain to make things more efficient and less manually intense.
Case in point, we've got sensors like this telling drones like that about aging parts before they're a problem. It immediately triggers a requisition for the right part from the right supplier automatically, automagically.
As I mentioned before, a major theme of Ariba Live 2018 featured a heavy focus on artificial intelligence, but the theme, the overarching theme, the master statement of the event was focused on sustainable procurement, socially responsible procurement. I was actually able to attend an Ariba event in December of last year, and that focused on a very similar topic. And the basic concept is companies should buy from socially responsible companies and supply chains, making sure that you're not purchasing from a factory that encourages child labor or gets their meat or fish from endangered species or protected zones. It's essentially making sure that you're not purchasing products that were a result of illegal actions or were a byproduct of socially irresponsible behavior. Here's another clip from that Periscope session that I shared earlier in the podcast. This one obviously covering sustainability and social responsibility.
Let's think about sustainability. Let's think about corporate social responsibility. We definitely don't want to have child labor in our products. We want to ensure that we only have sustainable products as part of our supply chain. So therefore, that's really where I believe everybody can make a difference. Start on a private side, very personal, and then think about what is it what you can do for your own company.
And if you don't think that's happening today in major corporations, Apple literally just released information that they conducted an independent audit of their supply chain through a third-party company. And according to a Reuters article, they found some serious problems. Last Wednesday, Reuters reported that Apple had found a number of serious violations of its labor and environmental policies for suppliers. And they found that these violations occurred because suppliers were falsifying specific data that Apple was looking for to avoid these violations. Out of 756 suppliers, Apple found 44 core violations of its labor rules, including three instances of employees forced to pay excessive fees for a job, which is a practice that Apple banned in 2015. Due to issues that have occurred in the past, specifically around the manufacturing of iPhones, they're taking extreme measures to make sure that their supply chain is clean and violation-free, which goes back to the mission statement of Ariba Live.
So this morning we had the demos, right? So two or three demos. And what was really interesting for me about that was how this message of procurement with purpose actually appeared in the software. And so Pat Meany showed how an end user, when selecting the winner of a sourcing event, could actually look at the corporate goals around sustainability, and then she could choose a supplier that would align to those goals, and therefore make every employee an advocate. I think it's great how we actually are bringing these things actually into the software.
These things are happening, and because of the technology that's available, consumers and corporations, they have the ability to make educated buying decisions on whether or not their products are coming from potentially complicated supply chain areas. I don't know if procurement and supply chain is going to save the world, but being a smart consumer, being an educated consumer, certainly makes the world a better place. I will make a couple personal observations about Ariba Live 2018. I would say as a whole, this year seemed to be kind of a reset. Ariba hosted their largest audience ever, and the tone of the event seemed to focus on people who were interested in purchasing Ariba, or for companies interested in being a part of the Ariba network. There was a lot of level setting. The scheduled and structured events focused on onboarding, new customers, general concepts. It was all very educational. If you wanted to go deeper and get more details, event coordinators made it possible to get individual sessions with developers and program leads. And for people who are living with Ariba, or for people who are implementing it, that's where the real value was, being able to get one-on-one sessions, live and in person, from developers from all over the world, and pick their brains on the product roadmap, where functionality is going to be in 2 weeks, a month, 6 months. That kind of access was invaluable and extremely educational. I'm not going deep on this particular episode. I wanted to share some notes. I wanted to share some audio clips. I wanted to help educate people who are interested in the Ariba products. I'm walking away from Ariba Live, impressed by the tool, impressed by the infrastructure and investment in functionality. I'm excited to see where the tool is going. I will say that a lot of the messaging at Ariba Live this year was the art of the possible. It was, what's coming next? Let us show you what we can do for you very shortly. As opposed to, this is what we can do right now. So while it's easy to get excited, and I was excited, there's also a sobering notion of, we still have to get work done today. But the fun thing about having products on the cloud, that functionality that you're waiting for, it literally could be turned on tomorrow. And in some cases, it was turned on yesterday. I'll let you process that one.
And that's all we have for this week. You can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mandarin, New Jersey, and it's produced by my dad. The outro is performed by me, Ben Lombardi, and music is provided by Patrick Lee. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.